You're listening to the Redfield Arts Audio Podcast.
Available now from Redfield Arts Audio.
If you're brand new to the works and life of the great American storyteller and poet Edgar Allan Poe, this recording is for you. Sherwin Cody wrote this biography for beginners of the wonderful works and life of Poe as part of a series of books for young readers in 1899. I narrate the book, and I made some small revisions where needed, updating the manuscript for historical accuracy based on new information since the story of Edgar Allan Poe was originally published. Poems by Poe have been added to this spoken word edition that were not in the 1899 original. If you're just beginning your journey into the life and works of Edgar Allan Poe, this audio recording is perfect for you. If you're a seasoned Poe aficionado, then share and gift this spoken word recording of the story of Edgar Allan Poe with a young person just meeting Poe for the first time. The Story of Edgar Allan Poe by Sherwin Cody, adapted and narrated by me, with poems by Edgar Allan Poe.
And now, your host, Mark Redfield.
Ireland has a proud storytelling tradition. Edgar Allan Poe, an American, born in Boston to actor parents, an English mother and an American father, has Irish roots. Hello, this is Mark Redfield. Welcome to the program. A poem published posthumously in 1875 by Edgar Allan Poe. Alone. From childhood's hour I have not been as others were. I have not seen as others saw. I could not bring my passions from a common spring. From the same source I have not taken my sorrow. I could not awaken my heart to joy at the same tone. And all I loved alone. Then, in my childhood, in the dawn of a most stormy life, was drawn from every depth of good and ill, the mystery which binds me still. From the torrent or the fountain, from the red cliff of the mountain, from the sun that round me rolled in its autumn tint of gold, from the lightning in the sky as it passed me flying by, from the thunder and the storm and the cloud that took the form when the rest of heaven was blue, of a demon in my view. A poem by Samuel Beckett, Ascension. Through the slim partition this day, when a child prodigal in his own way returned into the family, I hear a voice. It is excited, it comments on the football World Cup, forever too young. Meanwhile, through the open window, over the air in a word, heavily, a sea swell of the faithful, her blood spurted in abundance on the sheets of the sweet peas on her bloke. He closed the eyelids with filthy fingers, on the green eyes big with surprise. She lightly roams over my tomb of air.
The Poe family comes from Ireland. It begins as far back as can be reliably traced to Edgar's great-great-grandfather, David Poe, in the town of Dring, County Cavan, Ireland, about 75 miles north of Dublin. There are going to be a few Davids in our brief recap, so get some scorecards ready. There is no record of David Poe's birth, only of his death in 1742. He was a farmer and overseer of parish roads in Kittilon in County Cavan. It is possible, but there is no definite proof, that he was descended from the Dr. Leonard Poe, who was the official physician for King James I and later for King Charles I. David Poe, who married a woman named Sarah, gave birth to a son called John. John Poe, Edgar's great-grandfather, married Jane McBride and immigrated to America sometime around 1749 or 1750. They lived briefly in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and then moved and settled in Baltimore, Maryland. David and Jane had 10 children. Their son, David, Edgar's grandfather, still with me, was born in either 1742 or 1743 before they came to America.
A poem by William Butler Yeats. Adam's Curse. We sat together at one summer's end. That beautiful, mild woman, your close friend, and you and I, and talked of poetry. I said, a line will take us hours, maybe. Yet, if it does not seem a moment's thought, our stitching and unstitching has been naught. Better go down upon your marrow bones and scrub a kitchen pavement, or break stones like an old pauper in all kinds of weather. For to articulate sweet sounds together is to work harder than all of these, and yet be thought an idler by the noisy set of bankers, schoolmasters, and clergymen the martyrs call the world. And thereupon that beautiful mild woman, for whose sake there's many a one shall find out all heartache, on finding that her voice is sweet and low, replied, to be born woman is to know, although they do not talk of it at school, that we must labor to be beautiful. I said, it's certain there is no fine thing since Adam's fall, but needs much laboring. There have been lovers who thought love should be so much compounded of high courtesy that they would sigh and quote with learned looks precedents out of beautiful old books, yet now it seems an idle trade enough. We sat grown quiet at the name of love. We saw the last embers of daylight die, and in the trembling blue-green of the sky, a moon, worn, as if it had been a shell washed by time's waters as they rose and fell about the stars and broke in days and years. I had a thought for no one's but your ears, that you were beautiful and that I strove to love you in the old high way of love, that it had all seemed happy, and yet we'd grown as weary-hearted as that hollow moon.
Here's a brief history of Edgar Poe's grandfather, General Poe. General David Poe, Edgar Allan Poe's grandfather, born in County Cavan, Ireland, sometime in 1742 or 43, came to the American colonies, settling in Baltimore, where he became a respected and influential citizen. His business was making spinning wheels and clock reels on Market Street in Baltimore from 1775 on. And with the coming of the American War of Independence, David Poe was a member of Captain John McClellan's company of Baltimore troops in 1778 and 1779, and was commissioned Assistant Deputy Quartermaster General for the city of Baltimore with the rank of Major on September 17, 1779. He was a patriot who took responsibility seriously. Irish immigrants found themselves in the major American cities like Baltimore and New York during those years. And like David Poe Sr., Edgar's granddad, they loved their new country and never forgot their homeland. Many worked as laborers, building America's first railroads, its buildings, and her ships. The Irish were discriminated against terribly in their early years in America, and that horrible discrimination lasted well into the early 20th century. During the War of Independence, David Poe Sr. was entrusted with the responsibility of transporting a large portion of the French allies from Baltimore by sea and across the Susquehanna River. So well known were Major Poe's services that he came breveted in the eyes of the public and was known for many years as General Poe. That's where the nickname came from. It was one of respect and not of denigration. His wife, Elizabeth Carnes, born in 1756 in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, also of Irish descent, shared in his energy and patriotism. When Lafayette passed through Baltimore in 1781 with his ragged colonial troops, Mrs. David Poe was one of the women who furnished clothing for them. It was due to these services that Lafayette, during the ball given in his honor when he visited Baltimore in 1824, turned to one of the committee and said, "I have not seen among these, the surviving officers of the Revolution who were present, my friendly and patriotic commissary, Mr. David Poe, who resided in Baltimore when I was here, and out of his own very limited means supplied me with $500 to aid in clothing my troops, and whose wife, with her own hands, cut 500 pairs of pantaloons and superintended the making of them for the use of my men." He was told that Poe had passed away. He insisted that he be allowed to visit his grave. At the grave, he knelt, at Poe's grave, and kissed the ground and said, "Here lies a noble heart." During the War of 1812, David Poe Sr. was also a participant, at 71 years old, having taken part in the defense of Baltimore in 1814 against the British attack. David and Elizabeth Carnes Poe had 7 children, several of which died in infancy or very young. His son, Edgar's father, David Poe Jr., was born in Baltimore in 1784. David Poe Sr., patriot and grandfather of the poet Edgar, died on October 17th. He is buried in Baltimore at Westminster Hall and Burial Ground. Edgar's father, also called David, was born in Baltimore on July 18th, 1784. David Poe Jr. began his young adult life studying law, but quickly changed it over to become an actor on the stage. But that's another story. Edgar Allan Poe's life was heavily shaped by his Irish heritage, a fairly palpable Presbyterian presence from his paternal biological family, and the strong Scots-Irish ethos of his faux adopted father, John Allan. But that's another story too.
A poem by Edgar Allan Poe, Spirits of the Dead. Thy soul shall find thyself alone, mid dark thoughts of the gray tombstone. Not one of all the crowd to pry into thine hour of secrecy. Be silent in that solitude, which is not loneliness, for then the spirits of the dead who stood in life before thee are again in death around thee, and their will shall be then overshadow thee. Be still, for the night, though clear, shall frown, and the stars shall look not down from their high thrones in heaven with light like hope to mortals given. But their red orbs without beam to thy weariness shall seem as a burning and a fever which could cling to thee forever. Now are thoughts thou shalt not banish. Now are visions ne'er to vanish. From thy spirit shall they pass no more like dewdrop from the grass. The breeze, the breath of God, is still. And the mist upon the hill, shadowy, shadowy, yet unbroken, is a symbol and a token how it hangs upon the trees, a mystery of mysteries. A poem by Lady Jane Wilde. Have we done well for Ireland? O country writhing in thy chain, with fierce, wild efforts to be free, not seeing that with every strain the bonds close firmer over thee, or grasping blindly in thy hate the temple pillars of the state to hurl them down on friend and foe. Crushed in one common overthrow, can none of all thy poet band preach nobler aims, beloved Ireland? As David drove with magic cords the evil spirit back to night, as Moses, by his mighty words, led Egypt's bondmen up to light, hast thou no poet strong to calm thy troubled soul with holy psalm? Or trusted chief who, safely on across the fatal Rubicon, could lead thee with pure heart and hand to freedom, my own Ireland? By those doomed men in dull despair, slow wasting in a dungeon's gloom, by all youth's fiery heart can dare, quenched in the prison's living tomb, by the corroding felon chain that tortures with Promethean pain of vultures gnawing at the core of their lost lives forevermore. I ask you, people of our land, have ye done well for Ireland? By history traced on dungeon walls, by scaffolds, chains, and exiles' tears, slow marking as their shadow falls the mournful sequence of the years. By genius crushed and progress barred, by noble aspirations marred, till with a smoldering fire's life they burn in deadly hate and strife. I ask you, rulers of our land, have ye done well for Ireland? O men, these men are brothers too. Though frenzied by a fatal dream, their living souls were meant to do some noble work in God's great scheme, perchance to hew down, branch and root, the tree that bore such bitter fruit. But, left unguided in the right, they grope out blindly in the night, of their dark passions striking down their country's proud hopes with their own. But now, ye say, the land hath rest, aye, with the death weights on her eyes, and fettered arms across her breast, and mailed hands stifling down her cries. So rests a corpse within the grave, o'er which the charnel grasses wave. Oh, better far some kindly word to stay the vengeance lifted sword, or love with queenly outstretched hand to soothe thee, fated Ireland.
Thank you for listening to the Redfield Arts Audio Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. For more great audio, be sure to visit redfieldartsaudio.com. The original content and music of this program, copyright the Mark Redfield Company. For Redfield Arts Audio, this is your host, Jennifer Rouse.
A poem by Edgar Allan Poe. A dream within a dream. Take this kiss upon the brow, and in parting from you now, thus much let me avow. You are not wrong who deem that my days have been a dream. Yet if hope has flown away in a night or in a day, in a vision or in none, is it therefore the less gone? All that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream. I stand amid the roar of a surf-tormented shore, and I hold within my hand grains of the golden sand. How few, yet how they creep through my fingers to the deep while I weep, while I weep. Oh God, can I not grasp them with a tighter clasp? Oh God, can I not save one from the pitiless wave? Is all that we see or seem but a dream within a dream?
From Redfield Arts Audio, available now worldwide on Audible. Jeffrey Combs, Nevermore, An Evening with Edgar Allan Poe. Written by Dennis Paoli. Directed by Stuart Gordon. Recorded before a live audience.
You are here this evening, no doubt, to hear yours truly recite the most popular poem ever written upon these shores. For many years, my stories, my tales, that more popular than my poetry, and magazines and readership just demanded, new tale, every issue.
Okay, do you hear it? Louder, 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 louder! Villains, I shrieked. Dissemble no more, I admit the deed. Tear up the planks. Here, here, it is the beating of his hideous heart.